Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. This is Suns in Miami Day. It would mean something if the Suns were relevant, but they're not. But all these former Suns are in Miami tonight. So we are going to see Joe Johnson. We're going to see Amari Stoudemire. We're going to see Goran Dragic. That's on my mind today. An enormous basketball game tonight for the U of A. I don't recall the last time, and I'm not one of these guys that sits there. Let's go look up the last time U of A lost three straight conference games. They've got a really tough team tonight in Cal, and that game is down in Tucson. And I think Cal's one of these teams that could go on a run in the tournament. They've got very talented players and a lot of youth, a lot of length. That game is on my mind tonight. I'll get into that. What the Cardinals did with Tony Jefferson yesterday, we'll get over to that for a little bit. Rory McIlroy made fun of our political process and Donald Trump. I thought that was interesting. And there's some stuff around the draft, as always, that's there too. I guess the story about the Suns will dominate a lot of my thoughts. So, Eric, just cut me off. You're sick of it. I can go other directions. I've got Greg Byrne coming on today. So, yesterday we did a State of the Football program with Ray Anderson in athletics in general, but it was 90%. And I left hockey out. That was my bad. I left ASU hockey out. It's just on me. But today we're going to do the State of the Football program with Greg Byrne. And obviously, Greg's name being mentioned for the USC athletic director's job. I've got to talk to him about that. And that's like the 900-pound elephant in the room. So let's just get that out of the way off the top, and we'll do that here in a few minutes with Greg Byrne. So that's going on. There's a personal thing about in my world. So I'm having my first wedding as a dad, okay? So I'm a little all over the place here the last couple of weeks because it's a feeling. And those of you that have been dads with your first one getting married, it's 2 weeks away. So every day I'm doing show, and then there's just this moment that hits me of like, dang, my oldest son's getting married, and I've got to do this wedding in like a couple. And Eric's going to be there, and Jared's going to be there. I don't know why the guest list wasn't pared down, but I have to make sure there's enough food. Jordan Hamm's going to be there, and he's a cow when it comes to the food lines at games. So I'm a little distracted with all this stuff going on. But, you know, we'll do our job. Tonight we have our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. The baseball show, Brad Sussmat, Baseball AZ around the Cactus League. Eric and I went out yesterday and shot a couple of episodes. And I don't know, do you think they turned out? Were you pleased with the baseballs? Do you like this baseball episode stuff, or you just want to stick to football? What do you think?
The baseball stuff's fine. I mean, it's hard to tell if it looks nice. We just basically cut a bunch of opens and closes and did a couple of fan pieces. And I'm sure when the finished product arrives, it'll look very nice.
Because we have these interviews with general managers and managers. Here's the thing, though. Were you surprised yesterday? We didn't really talk about it that much. Were you surprised how many empty seats there were at the Giants game? I was.
I was more surprised that there were empty seats at the Diamondback game.
There weren't just empty seats at the Diamondback game. There were sections of nobody at the Diamondbacks game.
It's a Wednesday, I get that, but it is the first day of Cactus League play for the Diamondbacks, Rockies, Giants, a bunch of other teams.
Sure.
Yesterday, so I anticipated maybe not a full house, but I mean the lawn yesterday at Salt River Fields was not that full at all.
You and I could have taken up a
sure.
big space.
Yeah, and usually those are, I mean, on the weekends and Fridays, of course, they're going to be packed. But the demand for tickets, as we talked about, Brad, is so high with these Cactus League teams. I just expected there would be
yesterday.
More people.
We actually, well, you go to Scottsdale Stadium at like noon, you're expecting a parking lot. There was no parking lot. It was easy to get in, easy to get out. The people were nice. Police officers were taking pictures with fans. It was one of those deals. I'm just wondering, is it too pricey to go to Cactus League games? Because you're watching, and I love going and sitting out on the lawn and doing, you know, the family thing or just out there hanging out. But when you're watching number 90 pitch to number 67 in the fourth inning, I don't know. That's just not that I can make the point here in these early games. And spring break starts, I know for my son, my youngest son, spring break starts Friday. So the next couple of weeks are going to be packed out. And I've heard like around town that golf rates are up near $400 for a round on certain courses. Like the middle of this month. It's that crazy. And they're getting, I had a friend of mine over at the Princess who said they're getting $500 a night around March 16th, 17th, 18th.
We shouldn't be complaining. We shouldn't be complaining because this is all great for our economy.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
brings more people to our beautiful city. But yeah, it's a little bit, I mean, we gouge these people that come from their snowy climates.
We proudly gouge them. Hey, you want this rental car? Here's a That's tax.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Not just one tax. Here's like 10 taxes altogether.
I'm paying,
sure you pay for
I'm paying $139 a day to drive around a compact car.
Right.
Must be March in Arizona.
Right,
yep.
The sports scene. So tonight, are you into the Warriors like I am? Like tonight, I've got OKC Warriors. I'm going to stay up late tonight.
Yeah, that's a game you definitely want to see.
Are you going to watch the Suns?
Probably not. No. I'll find my way over to that U of A Cal game. And I'm out working tonight. I have a TV shoot to do since that's what we do now. We just shoot TV shows all the time.
All the time.
But I'll catch what I can.
You guys want to have another show? Just add them. No, the Thunder play the Warriors tonight at 8:30. The Suns play Miami at 5:30. I'll start with the Suns today just because the Lakers and Charlotte both lost last night. So we're leading the show off with the pursuit of number one. Like ESPN is doing all this draft buildup, which is fine. I get it. You know, they're chasing clicks and only clicks. I'm chasing the number one, please turn around our franchise that was once so proud and now it's not. So every night I'm looking to see how the Sixers do and how the Lakers do. And both of them blow, and both of them lost last night. So I know the Suns are going to lose tonight. The Suns are chasing history tonight. The last time, they've lost 16 straight on the road, the Suns have. Your Suns have lost 16 straight on the road. Last time they lost 17 straight on the road was 1973. I was 8, 7, something like that. Eric wasn't even, were you even born?
I was 0.
Jared Nielsen, you weren't even around, right?
No, come on.
Jordan wasn't around. Jared wasn't around.
You were the only one. I was close.
I'm the only one.
I was late,
I don't even remember
late 73, so.
I don't even remember it. 73-74. Here's the better numbers, okay? This is why I'm very confident that they're going to achieve history tonight, or at least tie history. The Suns are allowing 107 points per game this season. Allowing. Teams are shooting 47% against them this season. Like almost half of the shots they put up are going in. But the part that, and the reason I'm just having some fun at this, even though some people over there may get bent out of shape, deal with it. This is your mess. I'm merely sitting here pointing out that Joe Johnson is going to go against you tonight, which was one of the biggest mistakes, I would say. If they're writing a book about mistakes in player personnel around the Suns' history, that Joe Johnson would have to be at or near the top of the list. It's not about losing a coin flip and having Rick Roby. It's not. It's not about what did you get back for Charles from Houston, and none of those guys wanted to be here. Chucky Brown, Robert Horry, what a disaster. Sam Cassell. I still remember sitting with Cotton in the back. He's like, look at those guys. Those guys don't want to even be here, Brad. Those guys don't even want to be here. Disgusting. It was great. Love Cotton. And so when you look at Joe Johnson getting away from here, it was a huge mistake, and he's going to play against the Suns tonight. When you see Amari Stoudemire tonight barely able to move, like he could be in a walker and get up and down the court quicker than him trying to run. When his vertical jump is better when he jumps off of a curb, which is where he is now in his career. He can't move. That was one of the best decisions the Suns ever made, was saying, we don't want you here anymore for a 5-year guaranteed deal. Goran Dragic tonight. We're going to see Goran tonight. And, you know, the way the Goran thing went down, like if Gordon hadn't blown up on them and they didn't move Isaiah Thomas, who, oh, by the way, was an all-star this year, even if Bledsoe were hurt, they'd be a fringe playoff team, in my opinion. But you're allowing 107 points a game? That's just dreadful. So they have Miami tonight. The U of A game, we'll get into that a little bit with Greg Byrne here momentarily. Last night I did, I'm starting to watch a little bit more college basketball because the tournament's right around the corner. And I've come to the realization that this year I don't see a Florida Gulf Coast and I don't see a Butler. I don't see anything other than some really, really good teams at the top. And yeah, there's going to be the one or two shockers, but I, you know, I'm watching USC play last night. They're a nice enough team that'll make it in from the Pac-12. But they don't have the players that they're going to have a sustained run, in my view. I think Oregon's probably the best team within the conference to go tournament tough, tournament ready. U of A having lost two in a row and getting smacked around in the process. I don't know how it's going to go against Cal tonight. Cal is playing much better. If U of A loses three in a row, you talk about some people, they're already saying, well, it's not loot. There's always going to be that group that's it's not loot. By the way, happy birthday to Bill Frieder, who's 74 today. And the Cardinals have tendered restricted free agent Tony Jefferson. They have the right to match any offer that Jefferson receives. So there's some of the things going on here in the Valley, some of the things around the world of sports that are on my mind this morning. And there's a few other things, too. But up next, Greg Byrne will be with us. University of Arizona Wildcat athletic director who ends every interview with bear down. Of course he does. And it drives the ASU fans crazy. But where did this story about Rick Neuheisel dropping Greg Byrne's name for the USC athletic director's job, how did that come to be? I need to ask Greg that directly. And also, it's a state of the state around the football program as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our television shows, we have two of them now. Brad Sismat Football AZ and Brad Sismat Baseball AZ, the Brad Sismat Baseball AZ show around the Cactus League. It is on six different Fox Sports Net affiliates. We are very pleased with that, with Wisconsin coming on board, San Diego, Fox Sports Southwest, Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports Ohio, and Fox Sports LA. As mentioned, that Greg Byrne was going to come on the show. So here's the thing. Vice President and Director of Athletics for the U of A, and I want to talk about football and get really specific about football. But because Rick Neuheisel decided to say that a search firm was kicking around the idea of Greg Byrne and USC, I want to get the elephant out of the room immediately, because if it were true, then Greg wouldn't be joining me today on the show. So, Mr. Byrne, we've had you on before, and I appreciate you coming back. I feel like I'm kind of a nuisance because I'm asking you about jobs and your name being linked to them. Do you want to clear this USC thing up for us, please?
Well, first of all, Brad, it sounds like you got a lot of great new exposure, so congratulations on that.
Well, thanks. We're we're not screwing up too badly doing this thing, Greg. It's going well. It's going well.
You're making progress. I tell you what I have... What I have said is I've got a great president, Dr. Hart, who's supporting us tremendously. Our donors, our fans have been extremely supportive, too. And I am in no hurry to be leaving the University of Arizona. I've had, for some strange reason, but yeah, they must have been talking to most folks. My name's been mentioned a few times for other jobs. And I just continue to stay focused on what we're doing here at the U of A, and am excited about the progress we've made, and I'm excited about what we have ahead of us, and that's completely what I'm focused on.
You're going to have Rick over for dinner, Christmas cards still, or are you guys good? Or
yeah, well, I've known Rick a long time. Actually, I knew him when I was an intern at the Fiesta Bowl. Time we met. He was the quarterback's coach at Colorado, and I played golf with. It was a quick side story. About 4 years ago, Rick and I and Greg Kinnear, who's an actor from Hollywood, and then Al Michaels, who obviously one of the legends in your industry, the four of us played golf over in L.A., and I was like, man, there's one person in this group that does not fit, and that would be me. But I hadn't talked to Rick since then. And so when he threw my name out there the other day, I was like, well, I sent him a text and just said, hey, you're going to make my day interesting. So that's just people talking about things. You got to have somebody to talk about. And I guess I was the person that day.
I got you. Greg Byrne with us, Vice President and Director of Athletics with the U of A. Okay. You've now been there 6 years, right?
Yeah, actually 6 years ago this month I was hired. Yes, sir.
Okay, so before that, you were the athletic director at Mississippi State for a couple of years, and I'm curious, Greg, and I know it's been a long time since you were in the SEC and the world has changed, but how different is being an AD of a football program? I mean, the whole athletic department, but I'm focusing on football, in the SEC versus being in the Pac-12. Does that question, do you get what I'm going with on this?
Yeah. The two leagues are different. There's no doubt about it. Both have their strengths. Both have their challenges. The reason why I was willing to leave Mississippi State to go to Tucson and come to the U of A was because I think the closest thing to an SEC mentality in our league is U of A at Tucson. We're the only game in town. There's passion for our university 365 days a year. You go around town on any given day and you see lots and lots of people wearing the colors and they're, you know, just this morning on the front page of the sports page here in Tucson, every story was about the U of A. And that's a fun environment to be in. And that's what the SEC is like. And when you have that ability to be in a college town where the university is the most important thing in the community, and I think that's a strength of ours and separates us from our competition. And that's the way it is. And really, Nashville's a pro town in the SEC, but other than that, every single community in that league is college towns, and there's passion for it 365. So there are a lot of similarities. The thing that we want to continue to do, and because of the progress we've made under Coach Rodriguez, continue to grow our football program. And I told him when I hired him, I said, listen, we won national championships in 21 different times in different sports. And the reality is those 21 national championships and the rosters we recruit out of or the high schools we recruit out of are going to be the same high schools we recruit for in football. So why can't we do that in football? And obviously we won the Pac-12 South the year before and went to the Fiesta Bowl. And this year we didn't have the year we were looking for. But I certainly am encouraged by the momentum we've had in recruiting and the foundation we've laid with Lowell Stevens Football Facility, and we're working on the stadium. And so I think we can really go out and compete for championships in football like we do our other sports.
I want to focus.
That's a long answer, but I think there's a lot of similarities.
Greg Byrne with us, Vice President, Director of Athletics with the U of A. The BYU game in September, you're playing up here. You've and I have had these conversations about how you need to be more present in the metropolitan Phoenix area, and you're all over the place. The university is all over the place in downtown. It's not just athletics. That said, when I have Rich on and I talk to the coaches, it's still a challenge to get a kid to go 90 miles to make a visit. As the director of athletics, what else can you do? I think playing games up here makes a lot of sense, but do you alienate people in Tucson? Is this part of the long term? I know there's a lot of questions wrapped into one. If you can just address that side of it for football.
Well, the good thing is we still have 7 home football games in Tucson this year. And so that's the most, I believe, we've ever had in one single year in our history. And so we're still going to have an extremely positive impact in our local community. And that was one of the things I told our local business leaders, that if we moved a game to Phoenix, it wasn't going to be at the expense of Tucson. And so we have that part that's a positive for us. But Phoenix is critical. And, you know, and Rich talks about it. Our batting average, when we get a kid to come down here and visit from either from California or from Phoenix, our close rate is really good. The hardest part is getting them here, and so for us to have a football game up there, and really it's going to be the next. I know the Cardinals have an exhibition game before them, but it's going to be the next regular season football game in Maricopa County, and it's going to be Arizona and BYU, and there'll be a lot of interest in that. So that's good exposure for us, and reality for us, Brad. We make so much sense for in-state kids in the Phoenix area to come to school, both as a student athlete and as a in-state student. They can go away to college. If you're not on a scholarship, you can pay in-state tuition. Your family can come watch you play for a tank of gas, and you could be in a college town where it's really important 365 days a year. And those are strengths for us. And it's a great institution. We're the only AAU institution in the state. And there's a great academic offerings, and so we have a lot of strengths and positives that why people up there in the Phoenix area should be thinking about the U of A, and they have and they will in the future. But the football game is a really good shot in the arm for us from an exposure standpoint there. And we need every single Arizona fan up in Maricopa County to be there that day and wearing their colors and cheering on the Wildcats.
Are you planning on playing a game there every year?
No. We're actually, it's going to be an every so often occurrence. And right now we don't have anything on the books and not having any serious discussions about other options until we see how this first one goes.
I'm curious about the facility side of things. So you've had us down there. We've done stories. I've seen it grow. But are you halfway there, three-quarters of the way there, a quarter of the way there? With the makeover of a stadium, I had Ray on earlier, Ray Anderson, and he's going through his whole, you know, demolition of Sun Devil, so to speak, is the way I put it. It needed to be done. Your facility needed a complete makeover as well. How far into that process are you?
Well, from a football standpoint, we're about a quarter of the way through. We've built a beautiful football facility in Lowell Stevens. That's in a quarter of the end zone or a quarter of the stadium. Now we have to address the rest of the stadium. And we're working on different ideas and plans to do that. We just broke ground last week or 2 weeks ago on a new academic center that we're paying completely with fundraising dollars. We're not going to take any debt on it. A $7 million project. We've improved our softball infrastructure. We've improved baseball infrastructure. We've been doing that through the generosity of our donors. And we've been proud of the number of donations we've announced, and eight-figure donations, seven-figure donations on a regular basis, and that's part of fundraising. I think you put those out there so your other donors can see the momentum, and we've been able to identify other donors through that process as they've seen other donors step up and lead the way for us. So we're making progress on that. And but we still got a long way to go, and literally probably a couple $100 million at least, and other things we'd like to do. And you know, just going through, I took a donor out of Chicago through McHale yesterday, and he hadn't been back to campus for 5 years, and he said, "Man, you got a lot done for $30 million." And again, it's because of the generosity of our donors, and so we need to make sure we don't exhaust them. At the same time, too, we aggressively want to move our program forward and set ourselves up for the next 40 years.
Talking with Greg Byrne. Before I let you go, let's talk about Rich, and his name surfaced again in Jobs, much like you, off the top of this interview. And that's just the nature, in my view, that's the nature of college football, is every year you're going to have guys go through a cycle, and there may be eventually that fit for him. But he did make over his defensive staff. And I'm curious, from your view, how did you feel about the staff being shook up by Rich at this point in his run in Tucson?
Well, you feel for the people involved, first and foremost. Secondly, philosophically, as the AD, if I don't have faith in my head coach and whatever sport it is to be able to hire and fire their staff, then I probably don't have the right head coach. And so Rich talked to me about it, shared with me his thoughts, and obviously I supported him through it. And I think the new coaches that we brought in are going to really help us from a recruiting standpoint. I think we are already seeing some of the impact they'll have. Then I think they're really going to help us on the field. I was out at spring football practice the day before yesterday, and they're getting after it and really bringing a lot of really positive energy to the practice field, and it's exciting to see. And, you know, I think there's areas we need to continue to improve our depth, but especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think we've got depth at the quarterback position, the running back position, the offensive line. We've got some young guys from receiver that are going to have to step up, but I'm really bullish about what we have there, and I think we've got some young guys on defense that will continue to develop and who they are to make us better there. So the job that he's done and the energy he's brought has been really good for Arizona football, and as you go through that process, we all know you'll have some ups and you're going to have some downs, but the long-term outlook for what's going on with our football program, I think, is as good a position as it has been in a long time.
Anything else you want to add about football? I mean, I'm being real straight with you on football this time around. It is on the football show, and you are on, and Ray Anderson's on. I'm giving you guys the state of the union of your respective football programs. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things I've been really pleased with is our continued fan support and interaction. And that I can't stress enough, since I'm talking to the public here and especially the Phoenix market. That's so important for us. And the reality is the University of Arizona everybody has to do their part. Every single fan, every single football player, every single coach, everybody in our athletics department, our university has to do their part if we're going to be successful. And we're really proud because we have raised our Wildcat Club from 6,000 members 5 years ago to almost 13,000 members this past year. And that's because of the hard work of our staff and then also the generosity of our donors. We've raised millions and millions of dollars in capital gifts. And the people who have that ability, we need them to step up and support however they can. The people who have the ability to join the Wildcat Club at $100, we need them to do that and come to the game in Phoenix and buy season tickets and do whatever they can to make sure we're as strong as possible for the long haul. And they have been doing that, but we can't take our foot off the pedal. And we appreciate the support because I promise our fan base we're doing everything we can every single day to move our program forward. And we sure appreciate their support. And we need their support.
All right. I know you have a huge basketball game tonight. What's your feel on this season? Switching gears.
Well, yeah, Cal's playing really well. Yep. So we're gonna have our hands full. We were hoping to go for a three-peat as far as Pac-12 championships and for the regular season, and that's not going to happen. But we want to make sure we have one of the top four seeds so we get the first round bye. And, you know, just, again, the support we have for our basketball program when we play up in, you know, our annual game up in Maricopa County, we have great turnouts and support there. And the job that Sean Miller has done with our men's program and to build on the legacy of what obviously Coach Olson left behind and still very much supporting us today, it's fun to be a part of that, and there's always a buzz here in our community anytime there's a game day, and this will be a big weekend for us. So we're going to have our hands full. Cal's as talented as any team in the conference, and so we're going to have to play well tonight.
Safe travels. See you soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Bear down.
Greg Byrne with us, Vice President and Director of Athletics, University of Arizona Wildcats. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks again to Greg Byrne. Really like him. And I like Ray, too. We are really lucky in this state to have two athletic directors. Ray is just viewed as a rock star, and Greg is as well. And there's some people around ASU that are worried that Ray is going to leave at some point in time. And look, I don't sense that either job, especially the ASU job, the ASU job was a stepping stone. It really was. And now it's, I think he's there for a while. Robbie Ray throws for the Diamondbacks today. Eric and I were out at Salt River Fields yesterday shooting some stuff. And Gene Segura went 3-for-3 yesterday. Castile hit a home run, had a couple of hits. I think the real story, and we were out there when they brought Archie in, Archie Bradley, 2 clean innings, 2 strikeouts. So it's really interesting what's going on with Archie because you look at the Diamondbacks and their starting rotation. Greinke is going to throw tomorrow for the first time against Oakland, that game at Salt River Fields. I might have to drop in on that, you know, just even for a half inning to see him do his thing. Shelby Miller throws Saturday. Corbin pitches on Sunday. De La Rosa started yesterday. He got banged around pretty good. But it's, you know, right now the hitters are ahead of the pitchers. That's just what is going on. And as guys get stretched out and they get their work in and all that stuff, then you start to see everybody catch up and be even. You hope that's the case by opening day. But for Archie Bradley to throw 2 clean innings and strike out a couple yesterday, that's terrific. The more competition that they can have for that 4 and 5 spot within the rotation, and the more that they can show other organizations that we are filled with pitching, if you need to make a deal, come calling and let's see what we can work out. Even for a guy like Archie Bradley, I'm in this camp where I did not want to see Trevor Bauer go. And yeah, Trevor Bauer is now doing much better with Cleveland than he was going to do with Arizona. He wasn't mature for his time being here, and entirely too much was put on his shoulders and the circus and all that stuff. I think that in the case of Archie, you take the one off the face, you try to bounce back from it. Talented player, football kid first, baseball kid second, in my view, at least. And he's done a nice job. But he could be a valuable chip if this organization is looking around and saying, hey, so we would like to increase what we have at any certain position. And for Archie to come out and pitch like he did, that's terrific. I think if there's a downside at this point for the team, though. It's Pollock's sore arm, And that's really about it. Tomas has played well. Tomas has done a nice job. But so far, when you look at camp, and it's very early, the anticipation of Greinke, like tomorrow, Eric, Greinke, you're going to be over at ASU's Pro Day tomorrow. But the fact that Greinke's throwing tomorrow, is that – get you wound up, or is
sure.
this just different than Schilling or Randy throwing?
Oh, no. It's a high-end, top-of-the-rotation guy that the Diamondbacks have craved and needed.
And have $200 million tied up.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that too.
Oh, by the way.
That too. But, I mean, there will be a buzz when Greinke pitches.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be a big buzz. And yeah. even in spring training, I think there will be a buzz because people will want to see him do what he does.
What if he goes out and walks like two people?
It's possible.
And then they pull him out, and it's like,
it's fine. I mean,
you know, in this market, there's going to be everybody's no. like, "Oh my gosh,
Jeez,
Greinke
stop.
Was Greinke got lit up
yeah.
yesterday."
Yeah, wow. Did you see Greinke gave up 3 earned runs in a spring training game?
Spring training game. Yeah. Now for me, it's like go through 12 pitches, get in, get out. You know what he's in the whole thing about his social anxiety. We were talking to Derek Hall about that the other day. That they're doing a really good job, in my view, of limiting Greinke. You don't see Greinke around town much. You don't see Greinke in front of microphones much. I doubt you're going to see Greinke do a whole lot of stuff around town for what he's being paid to talk about himself. He seems to me, in the early workings with a guy that doesn't like at all to talk about him, he feels to me like the kind of guy that would much rather, and that's why he's doing this whole philanthropic thing. We talked about this the day that he signed. Part of the negotiation was I would like to see a good chunk of money go within projects around town. And I think they're going to roll them out to the ballparks, the kids' parks, and things like that. And that's fine. I have no problems with that. I think that's what you should be doing, just civically and corporately. But it also, you have to have a strategy for him because you know what he's dealing with. He's got something that's real. Social anxiety, you could see it in his press conference. You were there. I was there. It was not comfortable at all for him to talk about it. And when people were asking him, how does it feel to make $200 million? They just, you could see him just want to crawl into a shell.
And it has to be nice for him because he's going from the LA market, the LA spotlight, the yeah. LA media frenzy to Phoenix.
But, you know, the L.A. media friends, if he was in New York, I would agree with you on that. People in L.A. are like out here. It's harmless.
True, but
there's
still
more of them. There's more of them.
But the Dodgers are always going to be a hot-button topic. Win, lose, controversy.
Sure.
The Diamondbacks just kind of hang out here in Arizona and do their own thing.
Well, no, I've always said that people in Arizona care much more about hatred towards the Dodgers. It's like growing up in San Diego, right? So I grew up in San Diego, and when it was L.A. coming in, oh, the Dodgers stink. When San Diego would go to L.A., they didn't care. They don't care. So when L.A. comes here, everybody gets all wound up. But when you go out there, they don't care. It's not, oh, my gosh, bitter rivalry. Let me see, Diamondbacks or Giants? Giants or Diamondbacks? Giants. I do find it interesting, though, Eric. I don't know if you saw this, that the Diamondbacks are going to skip Greinke in the opening series against the Dodgers. The first time they meet the Dodgers is the first road trip, okay? And he's going to pitch on opening day against the Rockies, and then he's going to pitch on that Saturday night against the Cubs, and the fifth day would put him against the Dodgers, but he's, well, actually would take him out of the Dodgers series. Now, they could move him around and make it so that he pitches one of the games against the Dodgers. My thought on that is a couple things. You have a lot of games against the Dodgers. And the less times that Zach Greinke pitches against the Dodger hitters, the better it's going to be for Zach Greinke, A. B, when he does pitch, there's going to be all this LA media attention and how does it feel to come back and all that stuff. If he's not throwing, then he's going to be kind of hard for guys to track down and do the sit down with. He may end up being caught by the Dodger beat guy, but there's not going to be this Zach Greinke pitching tonight and that sort of thing. And so it takes the pressure off of him, which I think is smart. Now, later in the season, when it is September, you're going to want to have Zach Greinke on the hill. And you're going to want him having those series against the Dodgers late in the season. So, you know, Greinke throws tomorrow.
But that is a slippery slope, Brad, because as our good friend Pedro Gomez says,
yeah.
you cannot win the division in the first month of the season. But you can definitely lose the division within the first month of the season.
Well, look, if
especially in the NL West, which is just loaded.
But okay, to that point, if their pitching stinks and Zach Greinke's great, then that's on them. And I don't think their pitching stinks.
No, it's not going to. I'm just saying. I mean,
I get what you're saying.
It's going to be a fine line. It could be a photo finish between the Giants and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks.
No, I actually agree with you on that. But I don't think you're going to see it. Look, if you lose it by a game because you got lost 2 or 3 in L.A. in April, then your team's just not what you thought it was going to be, in my view. The Warriors play tonight, and everybody's trying to figure out how to beat the Warriors. And I've got some thoughts on Oklahoma City, Golden State, big-time showdown tonight. It's the sports event for sure. It comes up after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismath. Right, so the Warriors do play tonight. It is just the best part of sports. I am a little torn, though. I know Eric said off the top that he's going to watch a little bit of U of A Cal. Cal's got 3 future first-round picks, and they're long, and they're really good. And then part of me wants to see if U of A loses 3 games in a row. That never happens to the U of A, and they got swept last week. So that's going on tonight. U of A, Cal, and the Warriors, and Oklahoma City. Now, the fact that it's Oklahoma City, the more that I watch OKC, the more I think that Oklahoma City can give Golden State some fits. Now, the other night, Steph Curry didn't play. They wanted to rest his ankle. They've played Oklahoma City twice this season. The games have been very competitive. The games have been close. Draymond Green seems to be a good matchup against Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant still gets his fair share of points. So, I'm starting to worry a little bit about Steph Curry. And I say this after he's been terrific, but if his ankles are bothering him, if Steve Kerr is having to manage minutes and you have a game like tonight, and more now the belief is don't give Steph Curry any space. You actually have to pick Steph Curry up at three-quarter court. Well, that changes your defensive alignment. If you're that far out, there's still bigger gaps. And Klay Thompson is able to hit those shots, and Draymond Green on the inside. You know, you think back when Luke Walton was the interim coach before Steve Kerr jumped in there, and they're not playing any differently, in my view, now the Warriors are, than when Luke was there. He's getting more push up the floor, Steve Kerr is, but he's also not afraid to take Steph Curry out of the game. So tonight, can Durant stay out of foul trouble? When there are the mismatches, can you make sure if you're Oklahoma City that you're not leaving Steph Curry alone like they did on Saturday night? Saturday night's Warriors-Thunders game was the highest-rated ABC regular season game since 2014. So fans do care quite a bit about this matchup, and it's going to be late tonight. There's one other game, though, tonight. Stanford is playing Arizona State, and they play at 9 o'clock tonight. So people wonder why the Pac-12 network is just like scuffling. Come on, guys. 9 o'clock tip-off, Stanford ASU. Curtain of distraction or not, who's showing up for that game? Now, I know the top point guard in the state, Alex Barcelo, is going to be at that game tonight. He's being recruited by Stanford. I think Stanford may make a coaching change. I don't get a sense that Arizona State is that crazy about getting Alex Barcelo. They've got Trey Holder. They have another point guard in the pipe, the transfer from Buffalo. But Alex is going to be there tonight, and I think he's a terrific player. I love watching him play over Corona. But 9 o'clock tip-off? That game's going to end like at 11:15, and neither team is having a good season. And so when I hear concerns from athletic directors, and we just had Greg Byrne on, we had Ray Anderson on yesterday, about the television contracts, fans with start times. Eric, if I told you, hey, by the way, we should go do a story on ASU Stanford tonight, I'm sure we can find something. I'm sure there's a player out there that we should be doing a feature on. Do you be looking at me like, are you drunk? Are you kidding me? That time of night?
It's really no different. Game? Yeah, it's really no different, Brad, than having an ASU Colorado football game that starts at 8:15 or having an ASU West Virginia bowl game that starts at 8:23 and rolls 4.5 hours. But it's just, yeah, I agree. You know, you're, that the later it goes, the less eyeballs you're going to have. And it's a, I mean, on the East Coast, it's forget about it.
Forget
I mean, those
about
people
it. They're
are
not
long,
watching.
Oh, they're long asleep.
No, but Thon Maker's not watching tonight.
No.
That's all that. I only want Thon Maker to watch the ASU game tonight. The 7-footer that's visiting Kansas this weekend. And he's looking at, he's close on ASU. That's the only guy. So, you know, I have three events tonight. And this afternoon, you know, the Diamondbacks are interesting to me. They do play, and the Coyotes host Anaheim tonight. Sports360AZ.com, that is our website. We have plenty of content up on our website. We're pro, college, high school, college, or pro. We're Arizona-centric. Things that we see, other media kind of looks at and says, we just don't have the bodies, we don't have the staff, we don't have this, we don't have that. It's a bunch of excuses. We are Whole Foods and Sprouts in a world of Walmart. Our television show tonight, Brad Sesmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. Our baseball show, Brad Sesmat, Baseball AZ on six different Fox regions now. We appreciate our partnership with Fox. Have yourself a great day.